male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. Well, we have 2 weeks to learn the next one. There won't be a test or a new one next Lord's Day. What are God's works of providence? Remember, God's decrees are executed in the works of creation, which we thought about 2 weeks ago, and providence. Well, what is providence? I'll give you the answer. It's on your sheets, if you have the sheets. God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing of all his creatures and all their actions. It's a great comfort to learn that God is a God of providence on a day like today. Is minus 16 degrees Celsius some terrible meteorological accident which shouldn't have happened, and it's so extreme that it wasn't even planned by the Creator and the Provider? Not at all. The Lord wants it this cold for a reason. And we learn from this answer that every creature, that includes the elements of the rain, the snow, the sunshine, and everything that lives and moves and breathes, and every human being, is under the sovereign control of Almighty God in everything that happens. Now, some people, for a reason I can't understand, find that whole idea to be distressing and troubling. But I find it most comforting. Most comforting. Whatever happens, it's not something that takes the Lord God by surprise. And as so often when we think of providence, we think of the life of a man like Joseph, don't we? If Joseph did not have in his own mind an idea of the God of providence, what a miserable person he would have been, wouldn't he? Sold into slavery, almost killed by his brothers who were envious of him. And then as a slave in Egypt for a number of years. And then being falsely accused and betrayed by Potiphar's wife. And then being in prison. And then seemingly about to leave prison when he interprets those dreams, but the one who is released forgets to tell Pharaoh about Joseph's ability to interpret dreams. And he's there even longer. And then, of course, the great events that follow. The 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of famine. And at the end of it all, Joseph is able to say to his brothers that although they meant it for harm, God meant it all for good. Now, we are the Lord's people here this morning. And some of you have been through and are going through distressing times. And what we need is the God of Joseph, the God of providence. Think about how God's providence is described in this answer. His most holy. He can't be unholy or unrighteous. God is never the author of sin. His most holy, wise. God has infinite wisdom. God does nothing that is foolish or ill thought out. And powerful. God is not weakened, but God is infinitely strong. And these things are wonderful comforts. Welcome to Camp Amundsen this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Come and join us. We're talking about the God of providence and the holiness and the wisdom and the power with which God preserves and keeps and governs all things. Just as we finish saying that, remember that the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, were the fulfillment of the sufferings of Joseph. His enemies meant it for harm. Away with him, crucify him. Caiaphas, the high priest, saying it's better that one man die for all the nation than that the whole nation perish. But the Lord, through those very words of Caiaphas, had a higher purpose, didn't he? That by the death of Jesus, the intended death of Jesus in the plan of the Father, God would gather into one all nations of his people. And here we are now, worshipping God, because Jesus has died and has risen again. So then, please say these with me. And well, there are 12 days of Christmas, and there are 14 days till we meet again to look at another catechism question. So there we are. Try and learn this if you can. What are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. Amen.